This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Fans on their feet celebrating this one. The Bucks have announced themselves. Yes, the Bucks are back. 97-81. They clobber the Thunder. They are the Emirates NBA Cup champions here in year two of this event.
And that is how we start the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day!
Of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3, The Fan in your face.
You just ruined Peyton's... Peyton had something ready.
I had a whole intro ready.
He doesn't have headphones on. He can't hear you. Peyton had something ready to go. He was all loaded up. He's like, oh, I've got the perfect opening, because he was anticipating, I think, that you were going to be more than just... like walking in. Of course, you beat it. You walk in right in time. You don't even miss a second of it. But he was actually going to have it right after the clip played. He was going to play this.
Oh, Peyton. I don't have it right now.
Damn it, Peyton.
You idiot.
So it turns out the only person who wasn't ready is Peyton.
Can't even mess with me when I was up against it because of the, good gosh, rain in DFW. Rain in DFW. We can flex our muscles with the heat towards the rest of the country. Oh, y'all don't know how to deal with 105. 110, what are you talking about? Rain hits here. Holy crap. 30, 80. I was pulling some maneuvers. Waze should just copy me and get my tips on how to drive when it's crazy out there like this. But got here just... And then when this happens and you take your shortcuts, you hit every single red light. Mm-hmm. Even the elevator was like 15 seconds late downstairs. It always happens like that. But the Emirates NBA Cup... was decided with the Milwaukee Bucks. And the main question is just why or N? Why or N on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line, did this draw more interest for you? I think it's going to be heavily weighed towards no, I think. We'll see what the ratings do. But the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis raise the vaunted trophy, Bobby.
Yeah, I didn't care. And you know what I found? I found there were more people around this time than even last time, who were confused by what does this do to the schedule? Like, what's going to happen here? Oh, are we playing? So hold on. Are we going to be unbalanced now? We're going to play Oklahoma City on the road more times this season than we're going to have a split, or what's happening here exactly? And so a lot of confusion. And ultimately, I don't think anybody really cared. I think there were a lot of times people were like, oh, I see the court. I didn't even realize this was a cup game tonight. I guess it is. And it's just, maybe it's a branding issue, but I feel like more than anything else, it's just people don't care. It doesn't have any juice.
Now, they are going to get extra money. And speaking of juice, the Bucks left the boxes of champagne untouched after the game.
Yeah, they know it's meaningless.
They know that there's more to accomplish. And at least for the NBA, maybe this is a sign that Milwaukee turns around their season. Because Giannis and Dame were really a forgotten storyline, and this is something they need, especially in a smaller market. So maybe Giannis and Dame have turned things around with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, that could be the case. Well, let's not give Doc too much credit there. What we've learned is that Darvin Ham is the key to winning a IST, because he won it last year with the Lakers, and now he wins it as an assistant for the Bucks. So that's something to put on your resume, something to pad up a little bit. Say I've won two in-season tournaments. I'm the only one who knows that championship DNA. But no, it's good for the Bucks in terms of just, and good for the NBA, because that was a team that was spiraling. That was a team that was starting to look like, all right, this isn't going nearly the way we thought it was, like the way we thought it was going to go, and this could turn really bad really quickly, and they've kind of turned it around.
Giannis said last time he drank a little bit of champagne when they won the title in 2021, he had like a full body cramp. So, you know, there are a lot of people who just want to stay away from champagne, that it causes a different buzz, and that buzz creates a different type of headache for them. Are you a champagne person?
No, I mean, only when it's like you're somewhere and they're like, here, New Year's Eve, take this. The most violently ill Kristen has ever been was champagne. And so that's another reason to stay away from it. But it's also just, I don't like the taste of it. Well, I mean, I should clarify, it wasn't champagne. It was probably the brown liquor, then the clear liquor, then the beer, then the wine, then the champagne.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go. Now, the NBA news that I'm really interested in talking about, Bobby, again, is not. I feel like I'm co-hosting again with RJ. Just no NBA talk.
I love the NBA. I love it. That's what angers me about Adam Silver. I love it.
They have altered the All-Star game. They have made the official changes. They're going to break things up into teams of eight with little mini games to 40. Those people are then going to go ahead and advance in order to get a champion. I think there's $1.8 million on the line for that. Shaq, Barkley, and Kenny Smith are going to draft the teams. So then you're just going to go ahead, break it up. Teams of eight. The Rising Stars is going to be a team comprised as well that is competing in this. And Kevin Durant already is not a fan, saying, I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, you know the meme of there's a couple of old fellows sitting around a card table and they're playing and he's getting ready to just slam a card down. And people use that meme as like, here's a problem on the table and here's the stupid solution. That's Adam Silver slamming down tournaments anytime he thinks there's an issue. I'm going to go tournaments, whether it's the IST or changing up the All-Star game like this. This is a stupid idea. Nobody cares about the All-Star game. This isn't going to fix it. It makes it more of a quirky little unimportant novelty. And I think that it feels like he genuinely just went to ChatGPT and was like, hey, how do I make the All-Star game better? Give me some ideas. And then he grabbed one of them off a bullpen. Adam Silver's the worst commissioner in sports. It's not even close.
You're wrong about this one. This is going to be definitely better. Nothing could be worse than what they were doing. Go ahead and break it up. Break it down. You got to have them compete. Having a lower score with teams of eight, I almost wish they would have just played it to 20 or like 30, because that would have made it more competitive. Instead, it's going to be to 40. I like this. I like this. They're just not going to do away with the whole thing like the Pro Bowl talk. Kevin Durant, shut up. Shut up. Come up with a better idea. He said, let's just go back to East-West. That's not going to fix anything. You had your chance to get the guys to play hard. You had your chance for the game to be entertaining. So shut up. You're going to end up being wrong. This will be at least better than what they're doing.
Well, they're going to have to cancel it because a player has now spoken out against it. And all we know is that Adam Silver quivers in the face of anything. Players are just like, no, I don't want to do that. It's like, oh, load management? No, we're not doing that. Play hard in the All-Star game, guys. Take it seriously. No, we're not going to do that. And then Adam Silver just buckles all the time. That's what he is. I put it in my email last night. He is the terrified substitute teacher sitting at the class, and with all them rowdy kids going nuts, sitting there going, guys, can we take a seat, please? I guess we'll just have a free day then today. We'll just have a free. That's Adam Silver. He's not Commissioner Silver. He's Concierge Silver.
I like it. Let me know. Do we get more yeses or nos? Do we get whys or ends for caring at all about the NBA Cup in year number two? Maybe more interest since the Mavs went further and ended up losing to OKC, who lost in the championship game last night.
But that's the thing is that I'm going to be interested in watching the Mavericks games in general. I had zero added interest in going like, well, they did make it to the next round of the cup. In fact, it almost annoyed me and made me want to turn it off knowing they were in the cup.
You got a bunch of no's here on the Fantech, Sean.
Yeah.
817, no, not at all. 817, again, I did not watch a single second of this tournament.
Man.
And 619, no, I cannot stand it.
NBA's got a big problem, man. NBA has they have a baseball problem now. Has Major League Baseball even surpassed the NBA in terms of entertainment level for you? Now, DFW, I have always believed, has baseball third. Like, it's NFL, it's college, then it's baseball, basketball, hockey. Where is it now? Has baseball actually passed them in terms of innovative thinking and ways to go ahead and fix their sport?
Baseball's fixed more of their problems than basketball has in recent years.
What do you think the basketball problems are?
It's reached its money ball era like baseball did, where it just became so analytically driven that it's eliminated parts of the game just naturally, and that's a problem. It's gotten to a point where it is like Shaq talked about. It's so heavy on the let's put up 93 pointers in a game, and let's stop taking out the mid-range game. Let's get rid of low post play. Let's get rid of you know, triangle offense and ball move. And some of that stuff needed to go. Like, I don't want to go back to 75-72 four-quarter games in the NBA. But there's it feels like all of the team part of basketball is gone. The Celtics last year won an NBA title just going, we're putting up threes every, like, possession down. That's just what we're doing.
The only stat I see now from the NBA that gets talked about is missed threes. Like, the other day, there were 75 missed threes between the Bulls and the Hornets. That was an NBA record. 75 misses.
I can't remember. I'm going to need to go back and look. I think it was Wesley Matthews' second game or second season here in Dallas. They had made a lot of threes in a game, like the opening night. And I remember looking at it and going, like, gosh, this is the third most threes they've ever made all time. And I think it was a number that today would probably be 30th most threes of all time for Dallas. And that was... it was 8 years ago or whatever it was. And that sort of thing is a problem. That just leaning into, we're putting up shots, we're just chucking it up. It's a whole team of Gilbert Arenas just throwing it up.
The huge news that dropped last night in the National Football League, it is over right now for Kirk Cousins. Raheem Morris dodged all the questions. It was like, uh-oh, it's happening. And they're like, does Kirk Cousins give you the best chance to win? And he's like, that's a loaded question. Is Kirk Cousins going to remain the starter? No comment right now. Uh-oh, it's done. Michael Penix taking over in Atlanta, and it's happening against the New York Giants.
Unleash the Penix. That's what they're doing.
Unzip it.
Yeah, unzip it. Let it free. And this is, I mean, you couldn't do this anymore. You could not have Kirk Cousins out there anymore. It had
what
fallen
happened?
So I don't
I got a good tweet this morning saying, hope this doesn't happen to Dak. And, you know, it's an easy comparison to make with a lot of the Dak Cousins stuff. Physically, was this a physical thing with Cousins?
I mean, it's got to be, right? This is a guy coming off of an Achilles. He's in his mid-30s. But it didn't look this bad the first half of the year. But something has gone completely wrong for him. I don't know if, did he start feeling intimidated by the Penix problem? Did he start feeling like there was pressure there that he was crumbling to? Or did defenses just start figuring out, oh, he's so limited in what he can do? Like, he's just limited to this drop back game, and he can't do anything else, and we can take away so much of this and make it difficult on him. The fact that over his last 100, I looked it up last night, it's like over the last 140 drop backs of the season, he threw 9 interceptions. 9 interceptions to 1 touchdown and 140 drop backs. He was terrible, and it had fallen so fast off. It reminded me of, you remember Peyton. Peyton Manning at the end of his career in 2015.
He didn't have the clip ready to start the show.
2015, at the end of the career, at the end of his career, it fell off a cliff so fast. Brett Favre, when he fell off, it fell off so fast. That this just feels like the end for Cousins. This doesn't feel like something he's bouncing back from.
And this is coming off a win. They beat the Raiders 15-9, but Cousins threw for just 112 yards. And the numbers have been horrific. He's 36, so there is an age difference with Dak. Now, does this get the Atlanta Falcons off the hook for drafting Michael Penix, an all-time laughable moment with the selection process? Do we all owe them an apology?
No, because I think the thought was
the handling of the whole quarterback situation.
Yeah, one of these is an all-time laughable moment, and we'll just figure out which one it is. So initially, if Cousins was going to play the whole year, then the laughable moment would be, why'd you pick Penix there? If they were going to bench Cousins or he looked like a fall off, then the all-time laughable moment was, why did you sign Cousins if a month later you were going to go, well, we got to get a 25-year-old rookie quarterback in here? But this does it up. Atlanta gets flexed into Sunday night next week, so we're going to get the Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, two teams in playoff contention. So, I mean, that'll be an interesting storyline. But, no, this just shifts where the laughable part of it is. It's laughable that they brought Cousins on.
How do you think he'll do? What do you think of Penix? Chopping, I liked him.
I liked Penix. Was the third quarterback I had. It was Caleb, Drake May, then Penix. I think Penix is really good. There were there were a couple different people who I talked to during the process that had said Penix throws the best deep ball of any college quarterback they had ever seen. And so, I mean, that's something that with those weapons that they have, we talk about, you mentioned that yesterday, how do you have those weapons and you struggle offensively like you? I think Penix will take advantage of a lot of that.
877-881-1053. In order to join us on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, it's the hump day edition of Sean Sharif, Bobby Bell. Choppy is out on Christmas vacay. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back. We are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube here on your home of America's team. Are the Cowboys playing better? Are they really playing that much better? Or have our expectations plummeted that low? That's next on 105.3 The Fan. Are you planning on watching the Aaron Rodgers Netflix?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm going to be locked in on that because I will be taking tons of notes about what a douche he is.
Well, I need to know when you're going to watch it. I know Choppy's not going to watch it, so you need to let me know because I was planning on talking about it at 6:40, but I'd like to have someone to discuss it with.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'll watch it tonight. Though. I can read, though.
Three parts. Three parts for it. I thought it was pretty interesting. So maybe we can go ahead and cover that tomorrow. We're going to have another Boys to Men ticket giveaway during the Expressway. Rick Stroud, longtime Bucks insider at 7:20. Power rankings, and it's a Meet Church Wednesday as well.
Can you at least tease for me if I'm going to find him more or less irritating?
It's... Well, you're very close-minded. Once you've made up your mind on someone, come to a decision, you're probably not changing, so... I don't think it's going to change your mind.
Okay.
It doesn't change my mind, but I liked him a little bit more during it.
Okay.
It's just undefeated, really. Like time, how the upbringing in the childhood. The upbringing in the childhood really leads to everything.
Nurture.
I think you'll like it because it's really starting off challenging his very contrarian, defiant attitude. I think starts and stems from challenging the religious upbringing that his parents forced on him early on. That everything is, it has to be black or white. And he hates that notion. He hated that notion. No, there's got to be some gray in there. Mm-hmm. And he hates being told this is the way it is. And I do respect people. Look, well, I don't want to get into it all right now. But let me know if you're watching the Aaron Rodgers Netflix. Bobby will try to binge it tonight. And hopefully we can go ahead and discuss it tomorrow. But let's go inside the Star, and your Mike McCarthy, Mike Zimmer question really blew up yesterday. So did the squirrel and the raccoon, the squirrel brain, Shannon Sharp, an advocate for it. He's like, Stephen A., Molly, y'all East Coasters, you don't understand. We go ahead and cook up that stuff and hunt it in the South. And you also did some thought and some reconsideration over the Jerry interview.
Yeah, I did. And first off, man, I got to say the squirrel brain line from Jerry.
Yeah.
That just proves to me over and over again that he knows what he's doing whenever he says anything. Like, because I think he knows, like, even if it's true, I think he knows, like, oh, they'll love this factoid. Like, he knows that's going to blow up, I think, what he says.
I know. I just think he's really being true to his Arkansas hunter roots. I think he's just being really genuine. He's proud of it. Good for him in being proud of it. I just think that's truthful, Jerry. Props to KMC. We stole that from them.
The squirrel brain. Jeez.
That went everywhere.
It was a great question.
But just, the Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer being tied together, that's really probably the lead news topic.
Yeah, and we mentioned it yesterday. I thought he was just going to tell me, like, no, not necessarily, or just kind of keep things open. But, I mean, that says, yeah, if Mike's back, then Zimmer's back. Or it would seem to indicate, if Mike's back, then Zimmer's back. If Mike's not back, then we're probably resetting a defensive coordinator. But the other thing I had reflected on afterwards was the fact that I think Jerry accidentally tattled on himself a little bit. You know when you hear somebody say something and they say something out of a context that it's like, huh, that clicks together and kind of runs counter to something you said over here, and now I'm wondering what you're talking about. So when they talk about the Micah Parsons thing, and I understand they're trying to downplay it after it kind of blew up, after it got asked about in the locker room and Micah had the reaction it did, but he says that's never been uttered here in the walls of the Star. Nobody's ever even considered moving on from Micah Parsons, never, not once. So if things are as tight financially as he spent a lot of the interview talking about, and as much as Steven has laid the groundwork for, then are we really to believe that there's not anybody in that building who has suggested, guys, we might have to look at trading him, or at least, hey, got to throw this idea out there that this needs to be an option we talk about because that's a lot of money there. Show of hands, are we all cool with keeping him around? Okay, cool. Even if it's like that. I know there's no chance they haven't done their due diligence on the idea of, do we pay a giant amount of money here? He always tells us, man, when you're writing that big check, you better be sure about it. You better do those things. So for him to say it's never been uttered, that tells me one of two things. Either he's lying about that. Not lying. You know what I'm saying. He's fibbing about,
yes,
nobody's ever said that. Or the reality is they are more comfortable navigating the salary cap and the constraints they have right now than they're leading on, and that they don't think it's as tight, and they do have a firm handle on, I know exactly where to navigate around this financially.
He has to say it publicly. There's your answer, and you know that. He has to say. He's not going to say, yeah, you know, you, those types of decisions, you always go back and forth. Although sometimes in these negotiations with their bigger players, he will insult them.
Yeah, he did it with Dak a lot.
Zeke who? Yeah. CeeDee Lamb. There's normally an insult, and I figured Stevens was a negotiating ploy to throw it out there first. Because I think of all the guys who value that logo, that star that you see on every truck and every business that steals it and doesn't give the Cowboys their copyright and trademark infringement costs, Micah Parsons, I think, loves the idea and thought of being a Dallas Cowboy. This is just a guess.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He loves the thought of being a Dallas Cowboy even more, so he would be scared not to play here.
You know, you remember he got criticized for it, and I'm not comparing them as players at all, but you remember how important it was to Jalen Smith to be a Cowboy just for his own, the brand. Things he was doing, his brand, yeah. And off the field. That's the same sort of thing. I think Micah has a similar perspective that Jalen Smith did, where it's like, hey, that's a lot of value to me that I don't get otherwise. That's a lot of, you know, I have big plans to be, like we mentioned yesterday, if he's with the Titans, Micah is not the head of football content at Bleacher Report. It's just not happening. So he does have that value in there, and he does place it. I still think, and I know we talked about this during a break yesterday, if you look at Micah saying, ooh, I want to save money for them. I'm going to save money and do this, give them a $10 million break. What's 30 to 40 million? What does that matter? Well, in today's NFL, that's not a ton to begin with. 10 million is the new 5 million. Here are the guys who signed for 10 million annually last year. This is what you could have gotten, or what you might be able to get if Micah Parsons saves that money for you.
RJ Choppy is going to love this topic. You name a bunch of scrubs, because I've always fought with him over saving plus saving plus saving equals an actual player.
Kenny Moore, cornerback, Colts. John Runyon, guard, Giants.
Still playing.
Danico Autry, edge rusher, Texans. Decent spot edge rusher. Andrew Van Ginkel, linebacker, Vikings. He's played well. It's not a big splash guy, but he's played well. Leonard Floyd, edge rusher for the 49ers.
Hurt Aaron Rodgers, which you'll see tonight on Netflix.
Jadeveon Clowney, Carolina, who I'll be honest, when I turned on the film to watch Carolina last week, going, oh yeah, Clowney's here. That's what clicked into place for me. Mike Williams, receiver for the Jets. And then Sam Darnold, quarterback for the Vikings, who has played well, but was not anticipated to be $10 million. Now, just below that at 9.75, Tyler Biadasz. So if we're talking about who would you be able to keep or who would you be able to add, the difference might be, all right, Micah saving them that money means Tyler Biadasz comes back. And that's a player that probably would have helped with some of the lumps and learning curve that they've had on the offensive line. But is that enough of a, save or enough of an addition when Micah looks at it to go, never mind, I'll actually take $10 million then. $10 million in
Cooper
Beebe?
What about Derrick Henry? Sure.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, you could do that.
Derrick Henry is making $8 a year.
Sure. Now, you could do that. The idea, though, being if Micah's talking about people to build around with him, Derrick Henry's probably here a year or two.
Don't be so literal with they have to be young building block pieces. Let's add to the team to help him.
Do you think I would assume the Cowboys would use it more if they got that $10 million and they had to save it. I would assume they would use that more to retain people like Biadasz than go get somebody like Henry. That's just what I would guess. I guess I can't know for sure, but that's what I would assume they would do. And that's a good player, but is that a good enough player that Michael looks and goes, never mind, Cooper Beebe and $10 million, I'll take that.
Dan Orlovsky was up to his old tricks again yesterday. He was on McAfee, and they were bringing up Mike Vrabel, and he's like, I think Vrabel's already spoken for. Dan does this little, I'm gonna put my hand on the hot stove, and then I'm going to take it off real quick. And he's like, I think Mike Vrabel's already spoken for. And McAfee stops down, and he's like, whoa, what? What? And he said, I'm not a reporter. I'm not a reporter, guys. I'm not going to go into it too much more.
You're not even a broadcaster.
So there's Orlovsky strongly suggesting Mike Vrabel has his next job. The internet is trying to say it's Ohio State. Orlovsky would not expand. But either way, Bobby, it sounds like Mike Vrabel going to be taken off the board or already is off the board. And that broke my Cowboy heart just a little bit more. They're going to let this board dry up. They're going to let this board just go ahead and get plucked by everyone else and then be left with McCarthy.
Dude, it's not There's not a lot of, when you look at the, this is thought to be a weak off season for coaching candidates, I think, in general. When I was making that list a couple weeks ago, where we're looking at the different coaches that you could come up with if you gave certain answers, when you look at the names, so Belichick's off the board. So you have Vrabel right now, who, by the way, if Vrabel has another job lined up, that to me says he doesn't think Dallas is coming open. Because I 100% believe Vrabel would wait to see what happens in Dallas before he'd do anything. Because I think Mike Vrabel wants this job if it comes open.
Really?
Yes. And so Vrabel's got a great relationship with the Joneses, too. And so I think he would love to be here. But I mean, after Vrabel, you're looking at these names. Does this sound like, just get you all worked up? Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Flores, Robert Saleh, Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's a big name, but Cowboys probably aren't going there. Joe Brady, offensive coordinator from the Bills. Again, big name, but Cowboys probably aren't going there. If you're talking about guys who have coached before, they're probably talking about Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Flores, Robert Saleh, and Vance Joseph.
What about Pete Carroll?
That'd be interesting. I mean, if we're talking about just pushing something over the edge, if you want to go make a Parcells, at that point, if not Pete Carroll, I mean, he'd probably say no because of how much he got fed up with NIL, but call Saban. Call Saban, call Carroll, and just say, hey, just want to throw it out there. Just curious if you'd be interested in talking about it.
Nick Wright on FS1 on why the Cowboys need to lose out.
The team that needs to lose the final three games of the year more than any other team is the New York Giants. The second pick in that draft is Las Vegas Raiders. And the third pick is the Dallas Cowboys. No, the Giants and Raiders need to do it because they're fighting for the number one pick. And with a win, they could fall to 5 or 6. The Cowboys need to do it because if they don't, I think you're right. If they do lose the final three, at this point, I think McCarthy's a betting favorite to be brought back. Mm-hmm. Like I think Jerry is looking for a reason to do it. This year's so bad, it now fully resets the expectations clock.
Yeah.
And now next year, what's the goal?
12-5.
Get back to the playoffs.
It's true.
It's a great year. We made the playoffs. Win the division. Look what happened last year. And then if you lose in the playoffs, it's like, well, what'd you expect? Like, look at what last year was. Yeah. And then we're just back to where you hope to be this season in like 2027. It's stupid. It's a bad plan. It's a bad process.
I think he's absolutely right. The expectation gets reset and we go backwards because of what you continue to fight every day on Twitter.
You know, this is the Cowboys Twitter fan has come full 180. They are all about this team was just screwed over by injuries. And look, they're already close. This is that we should be 7-7. I mean, we're in a great position here, guys. That's kind of the feeling you're getting from Cowboys fans on Twitter, at least. Not so much Fantex. Fantex is a little more split. But the next question we need to start, again, I don't think it's going to happen. I think McCarthy's going to be gone. But the next question we probably need to start looking ahead to the offseason and coming up with names for is who's going to be calling plays next year? Because if Mike's back, it might be on the condition of you're not calling plays. So it's like, all right, well, it's at least been flirted with enough that now we need to start figuring out if there's just what offensive coordinator names are going to be targeted. And I wonder if they bring him back, the stipulation isn't, all right, well, Jason Witten's going to be your coordinator. And tough that you maybe feel like somebody's over your shoulder, but this is what we're doing. And you get another year.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on Sean and Bobby. Choppy out for his Christmas vacay this week. We have a sentencing update on Luigi, the hit list that people are not happy about. And do we finally have some answers for the pitching issues in Major League Baseball? We'll talk about it as well in the home of the Rangers next. Got to hand out the temporary crown right now for the Odyssey Raps that people have been sending me at 1053SS on Twitter. Follow me so I can follow you back. It shows the amount of minutes that you listen for the year, the listening streak in terms of the number of weeks. And right now, the number one seed is the Michigan man, DeMayer, at 125,243 minutes.
Mooney.
45 weeks. Six figures. 125,000 minutes. Mooney putting in that work. So right now he's the top seeded Tolo. Thanks to all of you for the time and the patience investment in dealing with us. Ashraf yesterday hit me up on Instagram. He's in the top 5% as he put up big numbers as well. 104,000 minutes listening.
Mooney with one of the all-time great listener audio contributions when he, after Michigan won that that big game at the end of the season when Choppy and I had been doubting Michigan all year. And
you mean the championship?
No, it wasn't the championship. This was the year when TCU had beaten them in the playoff. But leading into that, and he turns on his camera and he chuckles and he just starts like teeing off and like, Choppy, Bobby, I want my apology tomorrow. So he listens all the time. He's locked in.
And people are asking how you get it. Doesn't it come in the email?
I mean, if you just go open the app, it has an option down at the bottom of like see your Wrapped, and I just click it.
So go ahead, send me the screenshot of it at 1053SS so I can go ahead and retweet you. Pepe, you seen anyone jumping out or standing out?
Well, Mackenzie sent me hers. She's on there, top 20%. She had a 20-week streak of listening, over 2,100 minutes. So well done, Mackenzie.
Okay.
Well, so how many? I'm dead serious. I need to look. That might just be the payload for the year.
She listens to Ask Reddit, Best and Worst. She likes the Expressway topics.
Okay. So there it is. 640, 740, 820. Try to hit you up.
That makes sense. That's three segments. Yeah, because 700 minutes for the 15 minutes, and then you do it times 52. It's those three segments.
You know what she told me the other day at one of our company gatherings? She's like, man, you guys make a lot of enemies. She said, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, she told me that. She goes, sounds like you guys take off a lot of people. And I was like, you talking about listeners or like people in the business or athletes? She's like, no, not listeners, but like you guys go after a lot of people.
Oh, like we're not afraid.
We're toxic.
We're not. We're
yeah. What does she mean by that?
She's just hearing it from the outside perspective is all it is.
Is that the outside perspective?
Like a woman.
Yeah, basically. No, she's just like, you know, you guys are more hard-hitting, you know, towards controversy. A lot of the other shows don't really do that, so.
That makes me feel good.
I do. I like it, too, and I like that she listens enough to do that. By the way, we never got into, at that company gathering the other day, the whole Peyton cell phone thing with Mackenzie. I don't know if you want to do that now. We should talk about that at some point. So, Peyton, we heard that when we were out that night that, what was that? That Saturday where we did the holiday party, then we went out afterwards to the bar spots. That the reason Mackenzie didn't have her ID when she went to the spot where we were all chasing the ladies around town was because
our wives.
She said, "Yeah, yeah.
Jason Dale."
I should be clear.
Downtown Prattling.
The reason apparently she didn't have it is because you insisted on taking her phone from her.
Yeah, well, why does she need her phone and her ID and her credit card when she has me? You know, she follows me, right? Because she didn't want to carry around a purse all night. So she was like, you take care of it. So that's why I had her ID, her credit card, and her phone. That's the real reason.
She said she was just holding her phone and that apparently you had said, just let me hold your phone. I got pockets. It looks weird to just hold your phone all night.
Well, I usually go through her phone once a week, so it's been a while.
Do you know her code?
Yeah, I know her code.
And does she know yours?
She knows mine, yeah. But she doesn't have the face recognition. She knows the code.
Well,
that's
good.
That's good. I know Kristen's code. She does not know mine.
No?
I'm kidding. She does. We have the same one.
Peyton's like, Lucius is out here with us. Like, give me your phone. I don't want him hitting you up. I don't want any texting back and forth. All right. The New York Yankees are trying to spend that Soto money. Their latest signing, Cody Bellinger, yesterday. And baseball has released their pitching study.
Yeah, this was the long-awaited study, which I had made this comparison in the email yesterday, but I don't know if it's a perfect one, so I'm curious what you think about it. Do you think the arm injuries, on a much lower scale, obviously, is the arm injury issue right now like baseball's concussion moment where they've got to figure out an answer to this because they're getting questions about, is this even sustainable to play this sport doing that?
Well, how bad do we think the arm injuries were last year? Like, was it crazy over the top numbers of lost aces and starters?
Yeah, there was, I'm trying to remember what the ESPN piece was. Early on last year, ESPN had a list of, they had everybody they thought was a legitimate ace in baseball, and none of them were healthy enough to pitch on opening day. And they were like, baseball's got an ace problem. They can't keep any of these guys healthy.
Yeah.
So MLB did drop their long-awaited report on MLB pitching injuries.
Well, last year at Sailor on Friday when he sits in on the show.
Perfect. Over 200 experts, including pitchers, coaches, medical professionals. They all have concluded what has been the talking point, I think, pretty consistently now for the last couple of years, which is velocity and stuff, quote unquote. So the spin, the movement, through max effort pitching and off-season training is what's really pushing the injuries to get to where they are, which is, again, it mirrors kind of what their narrative has already been, or what their assumption has been, is that this is what's causing all of this. So fastball velocity, they found, has increased directly alongside the rise in Tommy John surgeries. The report also says that injuries tend to peak in spring training, that when guys get there and they're trying to ramp up and push themselves to, you know, close the gap on gains they may have missed in the offseason, that's where they tend to have an issue with the arm injuries the most. They also said there's a trickle-down effect with amateur pitchers. They prioritize velocity for recruitment, and that leads to pre-existing injuries in younger and younger players by the time they hit the major leagues. And so now you've got an issue of, like, something where that arm's already had some problems with it. And remember, this was something in the amateur level that they used to talk about with the curveballs. Yep. That they talked to. I remember Smoltz going off on his Hall of Fame speech, where he just ripped like youth teachers who were teaching kids how to throw curveballs. He's like, this is awful. He's like, 13-year-olds should not be having the same surgery I did. This isn't right. You can't be doing this. And so that was an area that they had to tackle. So they're trying to do something similar now. They want to try and emphasize, all right, we got to have rules that emphasize pitcher durability. We need to start updating amateur guidelines. We've got to have additional research on biomechanics, workloads, the international trends. Guys who, when you look at what's going on in just different things like the NPB, how are they dealing with injuries? How are they running into these sort of things? And so it's something where they've at least identified or confirmed they feel like this is exactly what they thought it was. And now they've got to figure out, all right, how do we balance this and counteract it without killing what people want to see, which is, oh, you can throw 100 miles per hour with movement and strike people out. Holy cow, I love that. Like, that draw is also what potentially could kill the availability of these star players that they need.
And the Bellinger signing, what do you think about that? Are you like, he was, MVP numbers, but fell off, came back. Yankees trying to stay on top.
No, I mean, it does. So Cody Bellinger is a good player, and he played well a couple years ago. Last year he was down a little bit again, but the thing with the Bellinger signing and some of the moves they've made since the Soto thing, doesn't it feel like to you, just to draw a comparison to Dallas a little bit, doesn't it feel like to you like when they lost out on DeAndre Jordan, the Mavericks, and then they're like, all right, well, let's throw some extra money at Wesley Matthews than we originally agreed. Oh, let's go sign this. And it just felt like, well, now we have money and we just got to spend it somehow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this one felt like. I will say he's made such a remarkable comeback, because I thought he was cooked after he won that MVP. And then he looked like the worst player in baseball 2 years later.
And by the way, Juan Soto, that weird story, he didn't talk to one Yankee teammate in the offseason. Bob Nightingale said that's because he changed his cell phone. He was inundated and swamped with people hitting him up. So he changed his cell phone number and then got back in touch with the Yankee teammates.
Okay. if we're, let's say, when you've recently solidified in the last year your contract situation here. Let's say before that was settled, you'd just been like, well, guys, so many of y'all were trying to talk about it. I just changed my cell phone number and wasn't around you anymore. It's like, yeah, okay, that's still not a valid excuse. That tells me the logistics of how you weren't talking to them, but that's not a valid excuse to just say, oh, you didn't reach out to a single teammate after you went on a World Series run. You didn't make relationships with anyone.
Does it make you think he just knew his Met decision was happening?
Yeah. Or just he had kind of made up. It tells me that he had a pretty solid feeling that wherever it wasn't going to be the Yankees.
Luigi indicted for the United Healthcare CEO murder that took place. The grand jury in Manhattan said, you're going away for a very, very long time. And now we have other hit lists to study.
Yes, we do. So this is something that, man, this is upsetting a lot of different people right now. The state of New York is now considering basically a crisis hotline for various CEOs who are concerned about would-be assassins, and being able to call that line and get help or security, or basically have confidence that, okay, the authorities are just a call away if I'm being threatened here. And people were destroying this on social media, the internet yesterday. CNN panelists had flipped on the TV at one point. I was kind of flipping through channels, and I saw this story as I was flipping through. I saw it on CNN. I was listening to them talk about it, and those panelists were just trash. Like, they can pay for their own security. The company can pay for it. This shouldn't be anything that should be government funded. There shouldn't be anything that the state should have to set up.
Well, is the state and the government talking about providing the protection or just setting up a hotline? I guess they would provide the protection off of that.
Right. It's like once you have the hotline set up, then it would still be tied in with the idea of like having security with it.
Color me ignorant. I'm sure you already have. I did not realize there was this much hatred. Like, what other business CEOs do people want to kill and have and want to see blood from? I did not realize that the healthcare industry generated this much.
Yeah, it's been getting destroyed. And that was the...
Because this guy's a hero to many.
Dude, this was... I saw this yesterday. Shock poll is the headline. 41% of young voters find killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO acceptable. 4 in 10.
Murder.
4 in 10 young voters. I'm trying to see what the exact age range is. 18 to 29. So 4 in 10... voters aged 18 to 29 say that it was acceptable.
Does Vegas think that Texas, I'm talking about any of the teams, are they going to be there at the end of the college football playoffs that start this weekend? And how I absolutely screwed over Bobby Belt from watching his Longhorns. Let's see what his plan is about this. Next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.